Page 219, Joshua 4, 1 to 9. Now, I could have picked so many verses from Scripture relating to what I'm going to be talking to tonight. And no doubt you'll pick your own in your head as we look back. But this one's a good one. I think it's a classic example of doing something that causes people to remember. Of course, ourselves, we know that we have the communion through the death of Christ. We are told to remember. And this is another example of where the nation was asked to remember something that they had done. So, reading from Joshua 4, 1 to 9. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. As Andrew said this morning, he was looking forward into 24, and we'd already talked about it, and I said I would look back. Well, in fact, we're not going to just look back at this year as a church. What I'd like us to look at this afternoon is looking back in general about its graces, its benefits, and its pitfalls when it comes to that situation. Now, I'm going to use several scripture verses, and I do apologize that we're not going to look them up because we're going to flit about a bit. I'm going to start with Isaiah tells the Israelites not to remember the former things. He will do a new thing. And, we're not to remember, but he says, you know, don't remember the former things. And it's right, perhaps, he's saying, it's right not to linger in the past to how things were. However, in the Psalms, it says, do not forget his benefits. And Psalm 105 is really lovely. It says, remember his marvelous works which he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. So we are asked as Christians in our journey as a Christian that to look back, but also to recognize that sometimes we need to look back in the right way. In Psalm 77, using the New Living Translation, it says this. And this is amazing. I wish I could say this every morning, but this is actually quite amazing. It says, "I recall all you have done. O Lord, I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about them." It's marvelous, isn't it? Psalm 177. And it challenged me. Well, do I do that? You know, when the psalmist says, I cannot stop thinking about them, there is an element of this remembering what the Lord has done. And from that, there comes something called gratitude or thankfulness. Now, some of us, we all have, perhaps we all have short memories at times. And we can become ungrateful. We do forget. We might even forget last week some of the little things that happened that were good. Only, you know, today you might have had a grumble or, you know, or tomorrow, whatever. And so we do have short memories. We do forget sometimes what has gone on. In Psalm 78, it is said that the Israelites did not remember God's power the day he redeemed them from the Egyptians, their enemies. And in Psalm 106, verse 7, it says that the Israelite ancestors in Egypt did not remember the multitude of God's mercy. So it does seem clear in Scripture that there are things to remember. In our reading, we saw that God told Joshua to choose 12 men from the tribes, pick up 12 rocks from the river, and put them on the bank, effectively, as a memorial across the River Jordan. So it was clear that the Lord says, I want you to remember. I want you to think about it. Why did we do that? What was that all about? And so there are good things to remember. As I mentioned earlier, we remember Christ's death on the cross through communion. That's why that's an important thing to remember. On the other hand, there are some sort of optimistic Christians who says, oh, don't look back, you know. Forget about yesterday. You know, let's live in the present. Do you have friends like that? I don't know. You know, just live for tomorrow. You know, don't worry about what happened last week or yesterday or last year, anything like that. And let us consider what the Apostle Paul says, because we do have to get this right. In Philippians 3, he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining for what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And what about Joseph? Joseph had two sons before the famine in Egypt, Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh named his son to mean, God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. That's quite tough, isn't it? You want to just forget it, all that happened. And the second one, born Ephraim, says, God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So Joseph, perhaps, rightly or wrongly, had things to remember and some things he wanted to forget. So it's clear, we believe, that through Scripture, remembering has to be done in the right way. We need to remember the things that promote our spiritual growth and forget the things that hinder. We must not be stalled by past achievements, successes or failures. And we must never forget what God has done for us, through us, and thank God for him, for it. We must never forget, as Christians, we must never forget where we were, what we've been through, and where we are now, and give thanks to God for it. Because if we can't do that, if we can't remember what God has done for us, then we can become grumblers at the sight of the smallest problem. But there are some advantages in looking back and reflecting, because we can dig deeper and we can reflect on our personal experiences that can lead to hidden treasures that we didn't know exist when we truly unpack an event in the past of how we behaved, how we dealt with it, and how we moved on from it. We're told to be more Christ-like day by day, so we can hopefully become better versions of ourselves today as we move closer to God's plans. And of course, Christian life is all about change. We owe it to ourselves, and we certainly owe it to the people around us, to do the work necessary, and it's called the work necessary. And I know we're saved by grace, but we have to be active in doing something about how we operate and what we do and how things turned out. We have a responsibility to reflect on that. Looking back on how God has worked in our lives over the year or so and has carried through us through the many challenging events can help us in the future when life seems a bit uncertain. Think about your conversion if you're a Christian here tonight. Ask yourself, how have you changed and seeing how your life has unfolded to this very day? Who would have known back then, And I guess if you think about it now yourselves, who would have known back then the life skills and the life tools you needed to get to where you are now? Who'd have thought it? You hadn't a clue, had you? Nor had I, if we're honest. No idea of what we were to go through and what we needed to learn. But we do need these things. We need to learn from these events. Everyday experiences or every past experience just makes us stronger. And it makes us wiser for the next step. By looking back, we face ourselves head on. And we take responsibility for who we are and what we've done in life or failed to do. When you look back on the various maze-like decisions that you've had to do, what did you learn from them? Now, I have to be clear at this point that I am not always good at this point, and my wife is sitting in here in front of me, and she knows this very well. And so I do need a lot of grace and forgiveness. And when I was preparing for this, I felt I'm just not really suitable to give this because often I don't learn from past events quick enough. Maybe that's why I've done this. Maybe that's why the Lord has done this tonight. Maybe, Michael, you need to listen to what you've written down here or to listen to what you're saying. Now, some things are straightforward. You know, we think we can sort of say, oh, next time I must remember to do that. I must remember to say that differently. Maybe I'll do that differently. Think before I do that. Do you do that? I guess not. If you're like me, we just plow on and not necessarily remembering how it would have been beneficial had we thought back then of how things turned out. Would I have done things differently? Now, obviously, there are some things that are straightforward. If you go on a walk and you get wet feet, next time you take wellies, don't you? But, and isn't it strange that life is not as easy as that, is it? Wouldn't it be great is if, you know, every time something didn't quite work out, you thought, I've got that tick. Next time, I'll remember that, just like remember to bring my wellies. The trouble is, human pride gets in the way. We think we can get away with things when past experience tells a different story. Now, I guess there's an element of risk in each one of us, where we think we are better, stronger, safer than we were in past events. Now, I don't know about you, but it's probably safe to say this. I think it's a man thing, that maybe when it comes to practical things, I sometimes think the past tasks that went wrong won't happen again. It's madness, isn't it? You may smile at me and think, of course they happen again because you didn't learn from the last time. You know, and it's madness. Why do we think we are invincible? Why do we think that we have nothing to learn sometimes from past events? Just as a sidetrack example, you and I know that it's very good idea to tie up a ladder before you go up it, or have someone foot the bottom of the ladder so it doesn't slip. That's a good idea, isn't it? Right? You agree with me. Did I always do that? No? Why not? What did I learn from the last time I slipped off a ladder? Absolutely nothing, apparently. So why do we do it? Why did I do it? I have been fortunate and come through many such events unscathed. My father was no different. In his early 90s, he decided he wanted to tidy up some vines under a lean-to, and he got a ladder out and put it up, and he did what maybe I would have done exactly the same, and he decided he'd just go up the ladder by himself. And of course, the ladder slipped, and he fell off. He was battered and bruised, but broke nothing. And so apart from his pride, that's all he'd really hurt. At the doctor's getting checked out, his doctor apparently said to him, "What on earth were you doing up a ladder in your 90s in the first place?" You know, and I could have said the same thing to him. But I understood why he did it. Because somehow we think sometimes we're invincible or it won't happen again. Do we ever learn? And that's the problem, of course, because that pride or that within us thinking that we don't necessarily learn from past events sometimes goes over into spiritual things. And that is where there is now greater danger. If we take risk with things that are more material, there is great danger for the Christian when the response to our past spills into spiritual things. And there are times we have to dig deeper and ask ourselves, what did I learn from that personal and last experience? Knowing the answer may be painful because it may ask us to change in our life a little bit, in our attitude or how we feel about things. Sometimes, as Christians, we have to be very quick admitting that we make mistakes. We make a shift in perspective. Or maybe God has decided that our experience will make us grow. And it's just part of the process. We recognize that all gifts are good from God. Sometimes they're painful. And the Lord wants us to look back at some of those things and learn from them. When we are prepared to take a sort of a true picture of our past, we can move forward with a sense of purpose and direction. We can make course adjustments on the way. We can actually know where we have come from and been to. We can fit in with God's plans, perhaps. And the Christian life is all about moving closer to God's plans. We can't do that if we don't understand how we operate as a person. What have we learned from past experience? We need to learn as an individual and help us make the decisions that matter. Again, we ask that question. In your Christian or spiritual journey, what did you and I learn from past experiences? How often have your eyes said, well, if only if I knew, I could have done it differently. Would you? Could you? Did you? Did I? Could I? Everyone looks different. Everything looks different in retrospect. If you'd seen everything perfectly the first time, perhaps, there would have been no room to expand your thinking. Excuse me. Obstacles may be difficult, but they are stepping stones, and I truly believe that. If we see that, it makes us better equipped to respond to challenges rather than to react to challenges. We will always have obstacles, but it's how you use them that matters. Given a chance, all obstacles allow us to grow and understand ourselves better. Challenges or opportunities to learn new skills. It gives you a chance to show a different aspect of your life. When you sometimes think, oh, I can't do that. When you've looked back and thinking how things have gone and think, oh, actually, maybe I can do that. Maybe I learned from that and maybe I can step forward a bit of faith. And we can have more confidence. And therefore, when you know that from past experience and you've thought about it, you're more likely to have a go at something. Say, yeah, okay, I'll give it a go. Because I know that it's sort of worked out okay. Every person here has a different journey. But the seeds of doubt, fear, and worry affect us all. If we're not able to look back and see where God has been with us and directed our steps in past events, then challenges can sometimes lead us to remote places where we believe no one can understand and no one knows what we're facing. And this is a classic, and we have to fight this. I don't know what you're like as individuals. I know a lot about you in some ways from church things, but I don't really know you deep inside. I don't know how you react to things. But sometimes, for me, when things don't quite work out, I think I'd like to just find a little cave somewhere, just find a little cottage in the forest with a little smoke coming out, and think, you know, I'll be fine there. Lord, you know, let me just, you know, run to that place or whatever. Because that's sometimes what we do. But we're not meant to. The Lord doesn't want us to do that. The Lord wants us to face what we've gone through and learn from it and remember it so in the future we can gain from it. Although running away can seem the most logical thing to do, that's not what we should do really. Everyone goes through something. And many people have gone through what you or I go through day by day, year by year. Even right now, we may think we go through things and think no one understands. But actually, a lot of people go through a lot of stuff. In looking back, we find people who have endured through challenges. We often can learn from them. We gain courage from their faith, which ignites ours. Bold steps of courage move us forward. And the book of Hebrews is the classic, isn't it? Where there are, in chapter 11, the people of faith to look to, who stood their feet firm, strongly for the Lord, and encourages us to move forward. But for me, there is a great story in the event in the Old Testament that sums me up completely. I have to be honest, I'll reveal it all now. But hopefully it makes sense to you as well. In 1 Kings 19, there's the prophet Elijah. Now, he had just witnessed some amazing, powerful events with God. But he decided that he was afraid of the queen who wanted to kill him. And so he ran away to Mount Horeb. And he felt abandoned by God and believed God didn't understand his situation, which is classics, isn't it? We're all like that. God, you don't know. You don't understand what I'm going through. People don't understand what I'm going through. Do you, Lord, understand what I'm going through? And we have those doubts. And here Elijah has gone through that. But within that text, God says to Elijah, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" Basically, God says to him, "Stop moaning, Elijah. Do you have a short memory? Do you not remember what I did when I sent the ravens to feed you when there was a famine and no rain? Do you not remember when I brought the widow's son back to life? Do you not remember when fire came down at Mount Carmel? So, Elijah, what are you doing here, moaning? Get on with it, Elijah." And then God tells him what to do and to help him move forward. And all that excitement is in 1 Kings 17 to 19. So here's the question again for us all. What did you and I learn from past experience? Don't run away. Don't go into hiding. Pick yourself up and trust in the God you know in your heart has been with you and promises to always be with you and go through whatever you're going through. When we cultivate the habit of looking back and thanking God, we will love him more. It's because we'll appreciate God more, what he's done for us. And there's no better way to show our appreciation than to love God more, to be thankful. We'll have more courage, more trust, more faith if we learn to do that. But of course, there are times when things happen and you can't possibly think God was behind it. But here, we're now going to look at David. And this is a classic, and it fits in with what I was saying earlier with that reading in Psalms. David had to face Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. And I'm going to paraphrase roughly what he said. He said something like this. "I was a young lad. I looked after my father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took one of the sheep out of the flock, at that point, I'd want to run away. And I went out after it, I struck it, and I delivered the sheep out of its mouth. And when it rose up against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. I have killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." David could only say that because he remembered. He knew back then that it wasn't by his strength or his skill. For me, the clear statement, which is a wonderful statement, David says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." David had learned to remember what God had done for him, being with him, and it helped him to move forward. the other side of the coin, though. Scripture does say about not looking back. When we brood over old offences or times when someone has hurt us, we can sow the roots of bitterness. And while we can never completely forget a hurtful past event, we can choose not to dwell there. And I think that is so important. I'm not a person who's going to come up here and say to me, you must forget all these things when you've been hurt or when things have gone wrong. What Scripture says to us, you don't have to dwell there. When we fully forgive others, as he has fully forgiven us, we can move forward well. Hebrews 12, verse 15 says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. And what about past sin? The enemy loves this one. He wants us to keep us defeated and sort of discouraged, and we just give him plenty of ammunition for this. When we stew over past sin makes us feel disqualified, keeping us from doing the work God has for us right now. But we need to remember through Jesus Christ that he has removed our sin from as far as the east as from the west, an infinite impossible distance that assures us that God forgives us. Of course, there is a caveat to that, isn't there? Of course, there's something called repentance, being sorry, and, you know, asking for forgiveness from the Lord. And at that point, Jesus says, it's done. Don't let past sin disqualify you for what God wants you to do now in this present time. And don't fuel past regrets. It's easy to look back and see the things that we might have missed, doors we didn't walk through. And don't sort of simmer on what could have been. All these things become a distraction from the amazing thing that the Lord could be doing in your present life and in my life. So we're not to therefore look back and think, I wish I'd done that, or have some regret because you think, you made that wrong decision. Don't go there. They are not helpful in the Lord's work. And regret, this is quite a big one really. Regret can be a huge struggle after someone you love dies. Therefore, it is important that we build relationships where we can confidently say, no regrets. Can you do that now? Can you and I do that in our heart? You know, when things happen and things didn't quite turn out and you can't say anymore to someone because they've passed away or because you're not able to fix it, were you able to say, no regrets? Regret lies to us and says that we could have done it perfectly last time, or that we could have changed an outcome somehow if we'd have done something different. What we do need to do, though, is to grasp the truth that we have to trust God's sovereignty over all things. We should not be living in the shame of regret. So here's the picture. Build good relationships. Be loving. Be kind. Be honest. Be truthful. Remember, no regrets. A good verse to remember is Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit. And also remembering, of course, looking back, we're not to turn to old ways. We shouldn't look back to what has been and then forget where we are now. We need to stay focused on Jesus Christ, who we gave our life to, if you're a Christian here today. Like a farmer plowing a field who focuses on a tree or a fence post, to have a straight furrow behind him. We need to do the same. Look straight to Jesus. Keep focused. And don't look back to things that are to cause us problems. Spiritually, we can't look back and move forward with God at the same time. We need to fix ourselves on that immovable object and follow him. So to sum up, how much looking back and thanking God do we do? Have you reflected on the past this year, last week, last month, on what God has seen you through? Have we thanked God enough? Have we always been thankful for what we have? And thank God for the fire and the flood that we go through. It's not always easy, but they are stepping stones to help us move forward. We may not have met all our expectations, but we give him thanks for bringing us from where you were to where you are now. And remember, past events are there to help us grow. Who to trust and how to stay on the right path. In looking back, what did you and I learn from those experiences? Amen.